I'm Aryeh Cohen, and this is Daf Shvui, weekly daf. Give me 40 minutes or so, and I'll give you a daf or so. It's a few days before Pesach. As we're recording, it's Friday. Pesach is Monday night. What's there to say this year? We're into the seventh month of the war in Gaza. Looks like there might be other wars, might not. Iran, Lebanon, Hezbollah, the Houthis in Yemen. It's not a great time for peace, apparently. So we're coming into Pesach, and Pesach is all about redemption. It's all about coming out of Egypt, and it's all about celebrating that the systems of power are not eternal and that they fall. Systems of power fall. That's at the base of Pesach. And this year in the Jewish community, we have to recognize that we can be Pharaoh. That's the deep learning that we have to do this year. We have to lean into the uncomfortableness of that. We also have to lean into our conversations with each other, to lean into our disagreements. So that kind of ties us back a little bit to where we're going in the Gemara with the daughters of Tzlavchad, who stood up to challenge Moshe. That must have been really uncomfortable. That must have been really uncomfortable in a patriarchal society. They try to couch it in terms of, oh, this is going to be better for our tribe. They try to couch it in terms that would be convenient to the patriarchy, but in the end of the day, they had to stand up and confront the patriarchy. Confrontations are not easy, and sometimes we have to confront. We have to say, this way of doing things, that you're doing it, or that we're all doing it, is wrong. And we can't go on and do more of it in the same way. So, maybe that's what this year's Yitziat Mitzrayim is about. Getting out of the Egypt of accepting oppression, of accepting Jewish supremacy in Israel-Palestine as a given, of accepting the fact that the occupation is a fact of life, and the only thing to do about it is maybe make it a little nicer, or excuse it away. Accepting the fact that Israel not only makes mistakes, but it seems hell-bent on a path which is leading to death and destruction. More than 30,000 Palestinians are killed, have been killed already. 1,200 Israelis were killed on October 7th. More than 300 soldiers were killed since then. Hostages are still in Gaza, 130 of them. This is not the way forward. This is not redemption. The only way, and I don't know how many times I could say this, the only way to stop the war is by stopping the war. The only way to stop violence is by stopping violence. It's not, and it never will be, that if we just have one more war to end all wars, war will end. The war to end all wars is now called World War I. We all know the aftermath of that. Those of us who care about humanity and who care about the Jewish community have to make our voices loud. When we break the matzah, when we eat the maror, this year at Pesach, it's going to be a larger conversation. And it will also be a smaller conversation. Pesach is not only about Israel-Palestine, though it's also about Israel-Palestine. It's also about other things. It's also about getting together with family and leaning into our conflicts and differences. Okay, I'm not going to ramble on anymore, but I want to wish you that you find the redemption that you need, that when you get to the middle of the sea, you can actually look up, point, and say, Ze Eli Vanveu, this is my God, and I will praise God. Azisin Pesach. So, here we are in Los Angeles. It's almost Pesach. The house is almost clean. The food is almost cooked. Okay, not cooked at all. Again, ducking into our comfy little Beit Midrash in the closet to record another week of Daf Shvui. We so appreciate your being here with us, pulling up a chair to our imaginary table and joining in the centuries-old process of asking the question, what were the rabbis thinking? So now, we are asking you, if you are able, to be partners in this venture by going to our Patreon page, which is linked on the podcast page, and becoming card-carrying members of the Beit Midrash, cards not included. Some of you have been doing this forever, and we are so grateful. Remember, we are not one of those corporate Daf Shvui outfits. We're more of a rickety storefront shtiebel Daf Shvui. Thank you so much. Who's Daf?
Our Daf. Who's Daf? Our Daf. Who's Daf? Our Daf.
So here we are. We are on 120A, as published by the widow and brothers Ram, lo, these 150 years ago. Lahalan mina'ana katub derech dulatan v'kan derech chochmatan. So we're jumping in into the middle of a conversation where we ended in the middle of a conversation last week. Further on, when they are to be married, in Numbers 36:11, a verse we will deal with soon, Scripture lists the daughters according to their age. And Machla, Tirza, and Chogla, and Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Tzlafchad, became wives to their uncle's sons. Rashbam argues that this must be the order since the custom is for the eldest to be married off first. Rashbam brings proof to that from the Rachel and Leah story in Genesis. Laban tricks Jacob by manipulating Leah to sleep with Jacob and thus be married to him in the place of Rachel, whom Jacob desired. Upon being challenged over this, Laban says to Jacob, "It is not done thus in our place to give the younger girl before the firstborn." Rashbam cites this as a proof that this is the law generally. Here, that is, when they confront Moshe, they are listed according to their wisdom. Misayele le Rabbi Ami. This is support for what Rabbi Ami says. Dama Rabbi Ami, b'yeshiva halech achar chochma, b'misiba halech achar zikna. For Rabbi Ami said, in a seated meeting, that is in court or other places of Torah study, according to the Rashbam, follow the order of wisdom. In a party, however, seat them in the order of their age. Amar Rav Ashi, now we switch down to Babylonia. Amar Rav Ashi, v'hu demaflig b'chochma, v'hu demaflig b'zikna. Rav Ashi said that this rule only applies when the wise one is much wiser than the others, and when the elderly person is much older than the others. Another point of view is introduced. Tana debe Reb Yishmael, benot tzlafchad shkulotayu. Shneamar v'tiyana havaya achat lekulan. The house of Rabbi Yishmael taught, the daughters of Tzlafchad were equal to each other. And that is why they were listed in different orders. As it says, v'tihiyena, in the verse we just cited, which literally means, and they became. But the house of Rabbi Yishmael reads it midrashically from its root, hey, vav, hey, meaning being, to mean they were all in the same manner of existence. Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, b'not Tzlafchad hu truly nase l'chol ha-shvatim, shneamar la-tov b'nehem. Tiana Lenashim, Elamani Makayem Ach Lemishpachat Mate Avihem Tiana Lenashim, Eitzat Tovahi Siana Katuv, Shiloh Yinasu Elalah Gunlahen. A new topic. Rav Yehuda, who is the student of Shmuel, said in the name of Shmuel, the daughters of Tzlafchad were permitted to marry to someone from any tribe, as it says, to whomever is good in their eyes, they may become wives. Numbers 36:6. What then do I derive from the continuation of the verse? Only within the clan of their father's tribe must they become wives. This is only good advice, which Scripture is advising them, that they should only marry one who is appropriate or worthy for them. Motiv Rabbah, Emor Alehem, La'otan Hom Din Al Har Sinai. Rabbah, or in some manuscripts Rabbah, who lived a generation later, challenged Rabbi Yehuda's contention that the daughters of Tzlafchad were permitted to marry from any tribe. He quoted Leviticus 22:3, say to them, which he interprets to mean, to those who are standing at Sinai. The Dorotechem, Elu Dorot Habayim. The verse continues, to your generations, which he interprets to mean, the coming generation. Im Ne'mar Avot, Lama Ne'mar Banim. Vim Ne'mar Banim, Lama Ne'mar Avot. This, then, is the Midrashic question. If the command is already directed at the ancestors, that is, those who are standing at Sinai, why must it also be directed at the children, that is, the coming generations? And on the other hand, if the command is directed at the children, why must it also be said concerning the ancestors? Mipnei sheyesh ba'avot ma she'ein bevanim, v'yesh bevanim ma she'ein ba'avot. Because there are matters that are directed to the ancestors and not to the children, and matters that are directed to the children and not to the ancestors. Ba'avot hu omer v'chol bat yoreshet nachala. In regards to the ancestors, the Torah says, and every daughter inheriting an estate, in Numbers 36:8. This verse continues, commanding that every daughter, quote, shall become wife to someone from the clan of her father's tribe. This obligation for daughters to only marry within their tribe was only an obligation for the generation that left Egypt. And there are many commandments that the children were commanded which the ancestors were not commanded. Foremost among them are all the obligations that are dependent on living in the land of Israel. such as the various agricultural gifts to the priests and to the temple. Ha'am ipnei sheyesh ba'avot she'ein bivanim, v'yesh bivanim ma she'ein ba'avot, hutzrach lomar avot, hutzrach lomar banim. Since there are commandments that are exclusive to the ancestors and commandments that are exclusive to the children, it was necessary to mention both ancestors and children in the verse. Katani mihat ba'avoto omer b'chol bat yeresha nachala. Rabba or Rava finishes his challenge. In any event, in regards to the ancestors, that is, the generation that left Egypt, Torah says, and every daughter inheriting an estate cannot marry outside the tribe. This contradicts what the Torah said in Numbers 36:6, that they can marry anybody they want. Hu motivla v'hu mefarekla. Levar mipnot slavchad. The anonymous interlocutor responds, he, Rava Rabba, challenges, and he answers the challenge, saying that this ruling of only marrying within the tribe applied to everyone except the daughters of Tzlafchad. Easy peasy. Amarmar, ba'avot hu omer v'chol bat yereshet nachala. Ba'avot in, b'vanim lo, my mashma, returning to a statement that was part of Rava's excursus, quote, in regards to the ancestors, the Torah says, and every daughter inheriting an estate, in Numbers 36:8, this is applicable to the ancestors and not the children. What is the implication of this teaching? Amar Rava, Amar Kra, zeh hadavar, davar zeh lo yeh noheg ela bedor hazeh. Rava says, Torah says, this is the thing. This thing will only be in force for this generation. Rava is referring to the verse we were discussing just above, Numbers 36:6, in which it is stated that to whomever is good in their eyes, they may become wives. This verse begins with, this is the thing, zeh davar, teaching that only in this generation, that is the generation of those who left Egypt, would this law be in force. Amar le Rabba zute le Rav Ashi, ela me'ata zeh davar deshchutei chutz, hachinami delo yenoheg ela bedor zeh. The younger Rabba said to Rav Ashi, however, the verse concerning the regulations on a priest sacrificing outside the precincts of the tabernacle are also prefaced with, this is the thing. Are we to derive from this that the prohibitions against sacrificing outside the temple precincts is limited to the generation of those who left Egypt? We know that this is not true. Shani hatam dichtiv ledorotam. Rav Ashi responds that the priestly regulations differ, since in the priestly regulations it is written to their generations, thus perforce including the future generations. This week's Daf Shui is brought to you by Plugta, the only app you will ever need to navigate holiday weekends or meals or phone calls with relatives. We all know that we are living in extremely divisive and polarized times. Holidays, when those of us who are fortunate enough to have loving families have to actually spend time with them and talk to them and listen to them, are especially tricky. Topics of conversation that are sensitive always pop up. Is there a movie that is definitively the best Christmas movie ever, and isn't it Die Hard? Amazingly, there are people in our own familial circles who would not admit the truth on this. There are many other issues about which the truth is so glaringly obvious, and yet some of our loved ones walk in darkness and spout falsehoods. As Ram Dass said, if you think you are enlightened, go home for the holidays. But now there is Plugta. Using all manner of new and old technology, this AI-powered app will supply the knockout answers to any challenges to your core beliefs or even to questions of whether Han Shmura or Machine Shmura is the better-tasting matzah. Han Shmura, of course, you know you love it. You can go home wrapped in the sublime confidence that at the other end of the weekend, you will still be right. And now, for listeners of Daf Shvui, your first Plugta 1 fight is free at www.plukta.com/dafshui. There follows what seems to be a series of challenges posted by the younger Rava to Rav Ashi from various different verses in which the phrase, this is the thing, zeh hadavar, is prefaced to or found in the laws. Zeh hadavar derashe matot, bamidbar lamed bet, hachinami lo yeh noheg ela bedor. The first challenge is from Numbers 30, verse 2. Moses, in speaking to the heads of the tribes of the Israelites about the prohibitions and laws for breaking or absolving vows, begins his speech by saying, this is the thing, Zadavar. Would this, the prohibition against breaking vows and laws for absolving vows, only be in effect for the generation of those who left Egypt? Amar le, hao yalef zeh zeh mehatam. Rav Ashi replies, that law is learned by way of Gzera Shava, a midrashic interpretation based on the use of the same word in two different contexts, from the prohibition against slaughtering animals for the altar outside the precincts of the temple. Since in relation to that prohibition against slaughtering outside the temple, the prohibition is conditioned by the word L'dorotechem, to all your generations. This condition also transfers midrashically to the law of oaths, and therefore the law of oaths is also for all your generations. Hainami Leilev Zezemi Hatam. So Rava the younger responds, should we not also derive our verse about the inheritance of estates by Gzera Shava from that verse about slaughtering outside, since both use the word zeh, this? Then, in that case, the permission for the daughters of Tzlavcha to inherit would be applicable for all time via the Midrash Gzera Shava of Zeh HaDavar. This is the thing, and the use of the word L'dorotechem for all your generations. Haimai, Bishlama Hatam Itzrich L'Gzera Shava. Hachalamai Itzrich. Lishtokramine Vana Yadana Deladorotu. What is the use of this Zeh? This. There, in the cases of sacrificing outside the precincts of the temple, or the abrogation of vows, a midrashic gzera shava was needed to teach us that the laws are in effect for all time. However, here, in the case of estates, what is the need for it? Scripture should be quiet, and I would know that the law is applicable for all generations. My gzera shava, detanya ne'amar kan zeh davar, ne'amar lahalan zeh davar. Malahalan aron uvanav v'chol Yisrael. Afkan aron uvanav v'chol Yisrael. Ma kan rashei matot. Aflahalan Rashay Matot. What is the Gzera Shava from which the two this is the thing verses teach about each other? Here it says this is the thing, and there it says this is the thing, just as further on, in the case of animals slaughtered outside the temple, it refers to Aaron and his sons and all of Israel, so too here, in reference to abrogating oaths, it refers to Aaron and his sons and all Israel. And just as in regard to slaughtering outside the temple, it refers to the heads of the tribes, so too further on, in regard to abrogating oaths, it is also the heads of the tribes. Amar Mar, Malahalan Aaron Uvana V'chol Yisrael, Afkan Aaron Uvana V'chol Yisrael. L'mai Hilchita. Referring back to the Midrash we just quoted, just as further on in the case of animals slaughtered outside the temple refers to Aaron and his sons and all of Israel, so too here, in reference to abrogating oaths, it refers to Aaron and his sons and all Israel. And just as in regard to slaughtering outside the temple, it refers to the heads of the tribes, so too further on in regards to abrogating oaths, it is also the heads of the tribes. What halachic difference does it make? Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov, Lomar Shafarat Nedarim B'Shalosh Hedyotot. Said Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov, to teach that the abrogation of vows involves three lay people. That is, three people who are not ordained, with an ordination that goes all the way back to Moses, teacher to student. Kedamar Rav Chista, Rabbi Yochanan, B'Yachid Mumche. This follows what Rav Chista said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. It refers to an individual who is an expert, a mumche. Rashbam explains that this means one who is expert in Gemara, which means all the questions that are asked and answered about the Mishnah. Hachinami biyachid mumche. So too here with an individual who is an expert. Uma kan rashei matot, aflahalan rashei matot, l'may hilchita. Again, referring back to what we just studied. And just as in regard to slaughtering outside the temple, it refers to the heads of the tribes, so too, further on, in regard to abrogating oaths, it is also the heads of the tribes. What halachic difference does it make? Amar Rav Sheshet, Lomar Sheyesh She'ela Behekdesh. Rav Sheshet says to teach that there is the possibility of challenging dedications to the temple. Rashbam explains that challenging dedications is similar to challenging oaths in order to have the court abrogate the oath. The person who dedicated something to the temple comes before the court, regretting having dedicated the object, and the court attempts to find a manner in which the dedicator was mistaken about what he was doing. And if the court finds that, then they nullify the dedication. Ulebeit Shammai da'amri ein sheila behekdesh. Ditznan beit Shammai omrim hekdesh ta'ut hekdesh ta'ut hekdesh. Ubeit Hillel omrim eino hekdesh. Hi Zeb is my Avdilai. And according to Bet Shammai, who say that there is no challenging dedications, As they teach, Beit Shammai say mistaken dedication is still considered dedication. Beit Hillel say it is not considered dedication. What do Beit Shammai do with the gzera shava of zeh and zeh, this and this? Zeh davar d'shchute chutz mibaylei, ala shochet hu chayav beino chayav ala malek. This thing that is written in regard to the prohibition of slaughtering outside the precincts of the temple is necessary. It teaches that one is accountable for slaughtering animals, but not for slaughtering birds by breaking their necks. Zeh hadavar drashei matot mibaylei lechacham matir ve'ein baal matir. Baal mefer ve'ein chacham mefer. This thing that is written in regards to the heads of the tribes and abrogating vows is necessary to teach that a sage can abrogate a vow using the language of permission, as in, you are now permitted to do this that you forbade upon yourself, while the husband cannot. At the same time, the husband can abrogate using the language of abrogation, as in, this vow is abrogated, while a sage cannot abrogate. Ulevet Shammai, delet lehu gzera shava hafarat nedarim b'shlosha hedyotot minna lehu. Further, for Beit Shammai, who do not utilize this gzera shava, how do they know that three lay people can abrogate a vow? Nafkalahu midetanya vaydaber Moshe moedei Adonai el bnei Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi Aglili omer, moedei Adonai nemru, Shabbat breshit lo nemra, benaze omer, moedei Hashem nemru, hafarat nedarim lo nemra. They derive it from a Tanaitic midrash on the verse, and Moses spoke the fixed times of God to the Israelites. Rabbi Yossi the Galilean says, the fixed times of God were spoken. The Shabbat of creation was not spoken. Ben Azai says, the fixed times of God were spoken, and the abrogation of vows was not spoken. If this little colloquy is mysterious sounding incomprehensible, fear not. In the immediate continuation, the Stam relates that Rabbi Yossi Bar Natan learned this teaching, v'lo yada l'farusha, and he didn't know how to explain it. All, however, will be explained on the next Daf Shui. I want to, as always, thank my producer, Eli Unger Sargon. Please check out his podcast, 4 Cubits. Also, his new podcast with Bruchim. I want to thank, as always, my wonderful Chavruta Charlotta Fun Robert, the comms team here at Daf Shui, Shachar Cohen Hodos, who created the wonderful logo we have for Daf Shui. You can follow me on Twitter, as long as it hasn't burned down, at Irmiklat, IRMIKLAT. It's been wonderful to be with you. Please come again next week. Bring a friend. Have a sweet, sweet Pesach and a great redemption for all of us.